The attacks of September 11th have cast a spotlight on the way Islam is practiced and taught in Saudi Arabia, the birthplace of Osama bin Laden and 15 of the 19 hijackers. Most Saudis strongly reject suggestions that their teaching of Islam breeds extremism and violence. But there are those who say the kingdom's religious institutions do need reform. From the Saudi capital, Riyadh, NPR's Kate Seeley reports.
Here in the homeland of the Prophet Muhammad, the site of Islam's two holiest cities, Mecca and Medina, Saudis take their religion seriously. At prayer time, drivers pull off to the side of freeways to pray. Speech here is peppered with references to God and Islam. Even a local internet company puts customers on hold to the tune of a Quranic chant.
For any other inquiries, please wait for the next available agent.
In Saudi Arabia, the constitution and laws are based exclusively on the Quran, and the kingdom has its roots in a political-religious alliance which remains strong to this day. In the 18th century, when tribal chief Muhammad ibn Saud, a forefather of the current ruling family, rebelled against Ottoman rule, he allied himself with religious leader Muhammad Abdul Wahhab. The relationship proved fruitful, says Prince Michel Al Saud, a member of the Saudi royal family.
It was a unification of a political concept that was based upon reforming the practices of Islam in the heart of Arabia, and it was a very successful reform at that time.
Abdul Wahhab wanted to rid the region of un-Islamic practices and return to a pure, literal interpretation of the religion. And in the early 20th century, when Abdulaziz Al Saud sought to unify the region's fractious tribes and build a Saudi state, he reunited with followers of this puritanical creed. Writer Abdul Mohsen Mosallam.
After the establishment of Saudi Arabia, he made those religious mullahs believe that they have a role, and they did.
But they often gave the government a hard time. Known as Wahhabis in the West, but referred to as Salafis here, they viewed change and development as antithetical to their beliefs. They rioted over the introduction of radio and TV broadcasts, innovations wrought by the devil, and they protested the start of girls' education in the 60s. Given such opposition to reform, the government moved cautiously in trying to modernize this long isolated region. But in 1979, opposition to the authorities turned violent. A group of over 300 fundamentalists seized the Grand Mosque in Mecca and held it for 2 weeks before being killed or captured by Saudi troops. Among the militants' demands were the overthrow of what they called the corrupt Saudi leadership and a rejection of technology and foreign influence. Omar Bagour of Al Madina newspaper says that the mosque takeover alarmed the government into appeasing rather than confronting increasingly conservative trends in the country.
There was a call to drive modernization and all the signs of modern life out of our life. And unfortunately, the way I see it, the government, so the government bought the conservative agenda in 79.
Fatana Shakar, the kingdom's first female broadcaster, says just as Saudi Arabia was opening up to the West culturally, there was a backlash.
Somehow, moderate Islam was hijacked. At that stage, the conservative groups began to feel scared. So they had to be even more conservative to defend Islam from the Western culture.
Shakar says women's freedoms were further curtailed, school curricula were affected, and moderate religious leaders were branded as outsiders. Today, Saudi Arabia is the only Muslim country in the world where women can't drive. The sexes are segregated in public spaces, and religious police have free rein to punish people who violate their strict moral codes. Saudi critics of this fundamentalist approach say September 11th has forced a debate about Islam in Saudi Arabia. And while most people dismiss Western criticism that the Islam preached here breeds violence, some do admit it promotes intolerant, even extremist views.
We in Mecca and Medina grew to be very tolerant of everybody.
Angawi says for centuries, students could study any one of the four major schools of Islamic jurisprudence at the Grand Mosque in Mecca. Now, he says, only the Salafists' strict interpretation of one of those schools, the Hanbali school, is taught. And the millions of pilgrims who visit Mecca every year, he says, return home thinking it is the only approach.
What they learn in Mecca is the same school of thoughts. And whatever they learn in Mecca must be the correct thing. So It's been exported, the one school of thought, the extreme school of thought, to the rest of the world.
Wajdi Ghazawi is a cleric in Mecca and has his own television call-in show on Saudi TV. In his views, things like permitting women to drive would lead to the moral breakdown of society. He and other clerics were fiercely critical of the U.S. bombing campaign of Afghanistan, leading some in the West to accuse Saudi religious leaders of spewing hate, which Ghazawi denies.
We never teach people to hate others, but we teach people to be proud of their religion, to be aware of the plans, the evil plans that the enemies have been planning against Muslims.
After September 11th, the strident rhetoric of the fundamentalists began to alarm the government, and Crown Prince Abdullah publicly warned the clerics to keep extremism out of religion. Khalil Khalil is a professor of Quranic law at the Imam Muhammad Ibn Saud Islamic University in Riyadh. He says he knows some of the more extremist clerics and insists they don't support violence or terrorism. They're simply ignorant and backwards.
To me, the religious institutions has to be reformed, has to be reestablished, and people who work there have to be really retrained to understand the world.
Both in articles and at his own university, Khalil says he's calling for a new approach.
I'm asking, not only in Saudi Arabia, also the Islamic movement in the world, to reach tolerance, to reach peace, and to reach the values of dialogues. That is, in fact, the way I see what Islam is about.
But Ghazawi, the cleric, dismisses such calls for reform. There is only one pure interpretation of Islam, he says, and people who say otherwise want to harm the religion.
They want to, you know, turn the country to be a completely Western country, and they don't want anyone to tell them what they should do and what they should not do, and which is against the very basic principles of Islam, and would never happen.
Ghazawi warns that if the government tries to rein in the fundamentalists, it'll cause an emotional, possibly even violent response here. Some analysts say the Saudi government doesn't dare touch the subject because it fears inflaming the very community on which it feels its legitimacy rests. Other analysts say that if it doesn't tackle religious reform now, the Saudi government will be severely hampered in its efforts to move this nation forward into the 21st century. Kate Seeley, NPR News, Riyadh.